I have two different passages this morning I'd like for you to open up to. First, go to Psalms 139, Psalms 139, and then also Genesis chapter number 2, Psalms 139, and Genesis chapter number 2 is where we're going to start at. Psalms 139 and Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis 2 is where we'll start this morning. We have two different series, one on Sunday morning and one on Sunday night, that we're going to be beginning here in the near future. And this message actually deals with both of them. The first one's going to be on Sunday nights. So we're going to be talking about stewardship. And you say, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about money. Now, stewardship is in the reference of what God's given us and us being stewards of it. Now, money or our treasure is one thing, but also our trials are something we can steward. Our time is something we can steward. The opportunities we have are things that we can steward. There is a lot of different things that we can steward. On Sunday nights, for a little while, we're going to be talking about being a wise steward with what God's given us. And on Sunday mornings, we're going to begin a series here in the near future, as in the book of Genesis. We're going to go through the entire book of Genesis and going to pull out different messages from the book of Genesis. And I think it's something that we'll learn a lot from and help us understand who we are and where we came from and who God is, and a lot of wonderful truths that we can find in the book of Genesis and what God did with the nation of Israel by calling Abraham out. A lot of wonderful truths there. But this morning in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7 is where we're going to kind of start off both series and help us understand a couple things. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7. And I don't know about you, but have you ever pictured yourself, you know, getting to watch something happen in the Bible? I think that's really cool. You know, don't you wish you could have been there when Jesus rose from the dead? Or I like the story where the little boy had died, or at least the son of the widow of Nain, and he stopped the funeral procession, and he caused the boy to rise from the dead. I mean, that, just powerful stories, things that you would like to see. It would have been cool to see creation happen, wouldn't it have? Yeah. Been cool to see the Noah and him building that ark and seeing that ark. I don't know how much fun it would have been to watching people die, but building the ark and seeing the size of it. And just a lot of amazing stories that you just put yourself in. Here in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7, and I know we've read over this many times and maybe in our devotions, because this is one of the chapters you start off with. I'm going to read my Bible through the year, and you've probably made it past Genesis chapter number 2 many times. But Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7, we see the creation of man. Look what the Bible says. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Could you imagine just picturing God making man out of the dirt and breathing breath into the nostrils? And to me, that just sounds amazing. But the principle we're building here is that life that we have is a gift from God. The life that we have is a gift from God. And when we're talking about stewarding life or stewarding things, I like for us to look at the purpose why we're here. And if life is a gift from God, what does God want us to do with that gift? The title of this morning's message is The Gift of Life. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I do thank you for the gift of life. Lord, we understand you are the giver of life, and Lord, that you're sovereign over life. And Lord, that you have a purpose for our lives. Help us this morning to take in all these different things and help us to understand why we are here and help us to live our life fulfilling your purpose. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Lord, help people understand today. In Jesus' name, amen. You go into some local bookstores. You go into pretty much any bookstores. And you know what you'll find is dozens, maybe even hundreds of books talking about life management. It's a popular topic. A lot of people have come rich off of it. These books talk about organizing, scheduling, budgeting, prioritizing, administrating, setting goals, and managing people. Obviously, life management is popular and it is necessary. If we truly are going to be a good steward, we need to be good at those things. But as you skim through these books, the purpose why we want to be a good steward is completely different than what the biblical concept is. See, the world will tell you to adapt your life based around what you're dreaming and what your goals are. And reach out for those goals, and you become successful by living out your dreams. And they encourage you to dream big and use that successful living that you have and those management skills to be the best that you can be, to reach your full potential in this world. And that all does sound good, but the biblical concept of things is, if we look at our life and everything we have as a gift from God, what does God want us to do with it? Rather than focusing ourselves on self-fulfillment and maybe a personal legacy, we need to start recognizing that life is a gift from God. He entrusted it to us for stewardship for him. Now, you say, what is a steward? A steward is one who spends by investment. He or she is commissioned purposely and wisely to appropriate the resources that their master or boss gives them. It's a person who is hired to oversee. This is what we should do with our lives. If we see that God created life, and that's what we see here in Genesis 2:7. You know, the evolutionists don't like this. The humanistic type people, the atheist type people, they don't like this. But the Bible says clearly, God created man here in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7. It's not some type of fairy tale. It literally happened the way the Bible describes it. And if we see that God is the creator and giver of life, then instead of worrying and fulfilling our goals, we should ask him what his goal for us is. And as we begin to understand what stewardship is, we lay a biblical foundation before we can know how to properly steward our time and properly steward our treasures and properly steward maybe the trials in our life and properly steward the opportunities we have and steward our family, steward all this, we got to come to this question and understanding, what is my purpose on earth? Because if my purpose on earth is to raise my family, if my only purpose on earth is to find happiness for myself or satisfaction for myself, if my purpose on earth is to have the most things, my purpose on earth is to accomplish the most things. Now, all those things could be beneficial, but is it the reason why God gave us life? Why did God give us life? First thing I want you to see here is God is the giver of life. God is the giver of life, and life is precious. Until we understand the value of the gift of life, we are prone to squander it. Thus, we recognize that life is sacred and is provided by God. Let's go now to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139. In fact, your life has a purpose to it. Your life was purposely created by God, specifically even before you were born. So what do you mean? Well, if you go and you look at some different instances in Scripture, the Bible teaches us that God knew who you were before you were ever born, and he ordained you for a certain purpose. He had a plan for you. You think about what it says in Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse number 5. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, he said, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb. That means before he was ever born, before he was ever even conceived, God knew him and had ordained him to be what? It says, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And what the Bible is teaching us there is that God is the giver of life. He says, before I ever formed thee, and he says, before you ever came out of your mother's womb, I knew who you were. I knew what type of man you were going to be, and I ordained you. I had a purpose for you in your life. Not only do we see that in Jeremiah's life, we also see in John the Baptist's life, it says, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Again, we see within the womb, life is significant to God. Life has purpose inside the womb to God. Look what it says in Psalms 139. Look what it says in verse 13. It says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance. This is talking about before he, when at conception. This is talking about when in the mother's womb. It says, yet being unperfect, and in thy book of all my members were written, which in the continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And look at the next phrase. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. These verses are talking about how God knows, and God knows all the members. God knows everything about the baby when it becomes conceived. I mean, this is powerful. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Life is precious. And I know that there's a day and time that we live in that people think is abortion is okay, and they think that the murdering of babies is okay, but you listen to this. Life is precious. God knew who Jeremiah was before he ever was conceived. And God knows all of us. And we got to get this, got to understand this. Life is supposed to be precious to us. And I know that I was telling them in the van that was on visitation yesterday that I was reading this past week. And one of the southern states, they had passed some type of law that was going to the Senate for their state. And it said that you could not have an abortion once the baby's heartbeat is detected. And they said that the other side just came up and they were angry and mad. And they says, well, sometimes the heartbeat is detected at 5 or 6 weeks, then the mother doesn't even know. So the mother doesn't have a choice anymore. And they have become so concerned about a person's individuality and their choices that they're willing to slaughter a heartbeat and kill a baby. See, life has not become precious to this world anymore. It's what part of the problems that we have and the dumbing down of society, that life is not precious. But you know what? We look here and we see God's response. We see God in the beginning created mankind. It was his creation. He breathed life into his nostrils. The man became a living soul when God created. And if we're going to know how to truly steward our life, or we're going to truly know how to steward the things that God has given us, first we must understand that life is a gift from God. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Our lives is not ours, but it is a gift that God says, here's your life. I want you to take it and use it for me. Not only is life precious, life is also to be protected. Life is also to be protected. The value of life is further seen in the fact that the Bible says, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. It's further seen that we are not to end our own lives or anyone else's life. Now, I know that people have this issue and this problem with suicide. I had someone call up and say, you know, is it wrong for a person to commit suicide when they are struggling and they're physically hurting and there's nothing they can see any relief? And I told him, I said, I only can see what the Bible says. And taking your own life is committing murder. It's your life, but that's not, who gave it to you? God did. And in this one statement, thou shalt not kill, God reinforced the value that he placed on human life. God not only created life, but he protects it. In Genesis 9:6, he tells God first gave human government the responsibility to protect life. He says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. In the New Testament, he confirms this by talking of government when he says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. He beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I think that's talking there about the government has the right to impose a death penalty. So we also see that the protection that God gives us here. Life is supposed to be precious. Life is supposed to be protected. But who gave us life? God gave us life. And God values this life. He created it. He sustains it. He sanctifies it. And he protects it. But do we value our own life? Do we see it as a gift from God that we should steward? First thing is, God is the giver of life. Second thing is, God is sovereign over life. God is sovereign. God is the one that gives and takes away life. You say, well, Pastor, I thought we learned a long time ago, it was a man and a woman that made children. And obviously God uses a man and a woman to make children. But if you go and you look in the Bible and you consider that God is sovereign over who has life. Think about it. We know that God created life. If we go a step farther, we know that only God creates life. He is completely sovereign over life from conception over all the way to death. You go in the Bible, you see stories of women who could not have children, who were barren, that prayed and sought God, and God opened up their wombs. You think about the story of Sarah in Genesis. You think about the story in Hannah in 1 Samuel. You think about the story of Elizabeth in Luke chapter number 1. All experience the reality that God is the only one who opens and closes the womb. God is sovereign when it comes to life. I have often thought and heard and even prayed with people who are struggling because they wanted to have children, and you saw God answer these prayers, sometimes through medical things and sometimes just naturally. God is the one that can open and close the womb. But not only is God is the one that actually has authority or sovereign over life, but he's also the one who takes or extends life. God is the one who takes or extends life. God is the one who is the one who decides how long we will live or how long we will not live. Think about what it says in Hezekiah. Hezekiah had been sick unto death. But in Isaiah chapter 38, it talks about how Hezekiah turned to the Lord and begged God and promised God and asked God for more life. And the Bible says, I will add unto thee thy days 15 years. So what God did, he turned around. Hezekiah was sick unto death. The prophet told him, okay, get your affairs in order. You're getting ready to die. Hezekiah says he turns over and looks to the wall and begins to cry out to God. And God comes back. He says, I've heard your prayer. I will answer it. He says, I will add 15 years to your days. Say, Pastor, what's the big deal about all this? God is the one in control of life. He is the giver of life. He created it. He's the one that gives it. He's the one that can say, hey, look, you can have children. He's the one who says, hey, look, you can have 15 more years. He's the one that determines who will be blessed in life also, too. He's the one who is sovereign, who is blessed. As Moses was coming to the end of his life, he reminded the Israelites the importance of obedience. Say, Pastor, I get it. God gives life. What's the big deal? Yeah, God takes the length of life. Well, if God is the one that can give life and God's the one that can extend or take a life, don't we think God is the one who can bless a life? Don't we think that if we have a need, God is the one who can actually bless us? Yeah, we like to think God is in control of giving, God is in control of taking, but what about the middle part? That's mine, isn't it? No, we should look at life as a gift from God and who God will bless and who God will not bless. Moses was saying this to the nation of Israel as he's getting ready to die. He challenges them to obey God. He is determined to tell them that obeying God and a life of obedience will be a blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 and 28, the Bible says, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of God, the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. I mean, that's pretty simple there, isn't it? I mean, he's giving it to you. He's saying, here you go. I'm going to give you a choice here. You can have a life that will be blessed, or you can have a life that would be cursed. You say, who in the world gets to choose that? The guy that gives you the life, the God that is the giver and taker of life, the one who extends, the one who opens the wound, he is the one that can challenge that. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, through Moses, he's saying, I will bless your life if you are obedient. Or if you're disobedient, I am going to curse your life. This is not me saying it. It's the Bible saying. In Deuteronomy chapter number 11, you say, I don't understand why my life is in such a mess. I don't understand why I have so much trouble. I have so many problems. The first question we need to ask ourselves, are we being obedient to God? Are we being obedient to God? Now, we were in Romans in Sunday school, and we were supposed to read through the book of Romans this past week. And I mentioned that on Wednesday night in Romans chapter number 8, it talked about how a person who is carnal-minded, has the carnal mind, is death. But the person who is spiritually minded, that's the one that I really took an interest in. It says that they can have a life of rest, and they can have a life of peace. Now, who was writing this? It was the Apostle Paul, the man who probably was in great turmoil. People would look at his life and say, look, he is being cursed by God. He didn't view it that way. He viewed his life as one of rest and one of peace because he was fulfilling God's purpose. He was being obedient to God. He was the one that could say, rejoice, rejoice. He could say, rejoice evermore. He could say, continue on rejoicing. He could say, in spite of all the things that were happening, that none of these things were going to move him. Why is that? Because God was blessing his life. Why is it God's right to bless a life? It's because God is the giver and taker. God's the one who opens the wombs, and God's the one that can extend a life 15 years, or God's the one that can cut a life short. He's the one that can bless a life. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal? If life is a gift from God, then how are you using it? See, obedience to God is a choice, but it's a choice that determines the quality of your life. Life is too complicated to manage on your own. The quality of your life is determined in your relationship with God and how you view your life. Are you really, truly stewarding your life? Do you view your life, I'm talking about the one you're living, as a gift from God? Because this is the start off point. When we begin talking about your time, when we begin talking about trials, when we begin talking about treasure, when we begin talking about opportunities, all these things come back to this. God gave you life, and he can bless you with your life if you'll look at it as a gift. That tomorrow is not promised you. It's a gift. What are you supposed to do with tomorrow, though? It's a gift that you have another year. What am I supposed to do with that next year? Third thing, not only is God the giver of life and God is sovereign over life, God has a purpose for every life. God has a purpose for every life. Not only since God creates life, since God sustains life, since we are dependent upon him for a fulfillment in life, life is God's creative masterpiece. He is the only one that can truly give you true meaning and purpose in life. Now, there might be a lot of people out there in the world that are living the fast life, and they seem like they have so many other things that maybe we do not have. They might seem like they are happy. But you know what? God, being the creator, the sustainer, the finisher of life, all those different things teach us this. That he's the one that blesses, but he's also the one that knows what true meaning and purpose in life is. We should turn to the Bible, not some self-help book, how we should steward our life. To attempt to live apart from God and for our own purpose is both foolish and futile, never truly being satisfied. As long as we view ourselves independently of God, we will fulfill our days trying to pursue self-made dreams, and we will end our lives never having accomplished that which we were created for. Hey, Pastor, you keep on saying, we were created for a certain purpose. Where do you see that in the Bible? Well, Revelation 4:11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." The Bible says that God gave you life not so you could do whatever it is that makes you happy. God gave you life so you could bring pleasure to him. You could bring glory to him. And how else does he do that? He says, well, I want you to bring glory to me. You were created for my pleasure. And if you've been created for God's pleasure, what is it that God wants you to do with your life? The Bible says, go you into all the world. The Bible tells us to preach the gospel to every creature. But let's even narrow it down to our own life. One time a pastor challenged me and said, why don't you write out a life's purpose statement? Write out a simple life's purpose. Why are you here? What is the purpose of your life? Just sit down and write down in a few lines the purpose why you think you're here. His was this. The purpose of my life is to glorify God by living with the mind of Christ, loving and providing for my family, and impacting my generation with the gospel of Christ. And then his life, based off of that, he was able to steward his time, his treasures, his trials, his opportunities, his health. All those different things came from what the real true purpose in life is. We get so caught up and so mixed up with so many things in this world, we spend so much time on things that are not accomplishing the purpose why God gave us life in the first place. And instead, we focus on so many things in this world. What is the purpose? Why are we here? Now, I know that your purpose statement would be different than what mine would be. But it should all be centered around what God's glory is. You think about it. Is my life bringing God glory? Someday, the whole world will be full of His glory. When we look in Revelation, we see that it confirms that God's eternal purpose of creation and redemption will be one day accumulated and above fulfillment. It will happen. But when we invest our lives in pursuing God's goal for us, we are assured of victory before we even start. Think about it. What's your purpose? Now, I know if many of the moms in the room would be to raise a good family, even to raise a godly family. Or to the dads and the husbands in the rooms would be to provide. And those are all scriptural things. But what's the purpose in it? Because if our goal is to glorify God while we're doing these things, we're going to steward our life completely different. We're going to say that that extra time I have is not mine, it's God's. Now, we are all created differently. We all have the same main purpose to glorify God, but God has given us a unique set of desires, aptitudes, and gifts to fulfill those purposes. We're all different. We're all made in different ways. Scripture tells us that even from birth, God had specifically crafted an individual with certain gifts and talents. Remember when we talked about Jeremiah? He was, before he came out of the womb, he was sanctified and ordained as a prophet. He did not call everybody to be a prophet. He did not call you to be a cookie cutter, to be everybody to be like me, everyone to be like somebody else. No, he gave you individuality on purpose, but he gave that purpose so you could bring glory to God. God is sovereign and the only one. There is no one else that can give. There is no one else who can take away life like God can. But where does it all boil down to? Well, think for a few minutes. What would be your purpose in life? Why are you here? If God did give us life as a gift, am I here for to find love? To find happiness? To find satisfaction? Am I here to create a wealth? Am I here to, what is my purpose in life? And we're going to look at us and we're going to consider stewardship and stewarding the life that God's given us. We need to first look at what we are doing here. We're here for God's glory. We've been given life for His pleasure and for His glory. Yes, being a good husband, wife, mom, dad, church member, employee, all that involves in that. All that centers around from what? To bring God glory. Now here's the last thought. Is not only did God give you life, He wants to give you something called eternal life. And I know, I look around the room, there really isn't any visitors here this morning. I get that. And I know that the main text of the message and main understanding of the message is God created you. God is the one that can open a womb. God is the one that can take your life away just like that. God, it's all about God. God knows who to bless. God knows how to bless. God knows the talent you have. God, it's all this idea. God has given you life. Now steward that life and use that life for His glory. Stop wasting away the opportunity God gave you. That's the whole main message. But you've missed the whole point if you've never allowed Him to give you eternal life. See, God is not only sovereign over giving to life, at the conclusion of our life, He takes the life. But no matter how well you steward your days in this world, the most important issue is whether or not you receive the gift of His eternal life. See, God is not willing any should perish, but we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we've all sinned, and because of that, there is a price tag to our sin, and that's the wages of sin is death. And this verse is saying that because of our sin, we are going to die and be alone without God, be separated from God. Well, what does He offer us? He offers us a life gift, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This morning, if you've never been saved, if you're not sure that if you were going to, if you died today, that you would go to heaven, the Bible says you can know that for sure. The Bible says that God commended His love toward us and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ paid for our penalty. and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is willing and interested in giving you eternal life. Do you have that today? This morning as we close, here's the question. It's an age-old question that people have been asking for years. What is my purpose in life? What am I here? Why am I here? The book of Genesis tells us that. And we're going to look at it a little bit, the reason why we are here. We're going to look why how God created us. We're going to look at why we are the reason we are like. But it all begins with this. At least for us, it begins with this. That God created us. And who else better to know what true happiness and fulfillment is? You can search your whole life and try to fill your life with drugs, alcohol, sex, TV, movies, music, friendships. I mean, some things that there's nothing wrong with, some entertainment, some thrills. You know, you can fill your life all these things and never truly be satisfied because you've never looked in the book and said, okay, God, you gave me life. Now teach me how to use it. Because the one who created us, the one who is the giver and taker of life, he has given us a book on how to live the life and to live a life of rest and peace. But that comes with those that are spiritually minded. Those that have the life of death is carnally minded. And my concern is that many of us have taken this gift of life that God's given us and we've wasted it. I don't know about you, but have you ever squandered a gift? Maybe someone gave you a sum of money or some type of object or some type of thing and says, here, this is a gift for you. And you went and you used it and look back now and say, boy, I wish I would have used this money differently. I wish I would have used that gift or that opportunity a lot more differently. I see how I've wasted the chance I had. And I sit at many people's bedsides as they're passing away and they say, I wish I would have lived for God more. I wish I could get to church. I miss church so much and so often. I squander the opportunity that God has given me. They weren't a good steward of it. They might have a wonderful family. They might have done a lot of good things in this world, but they look back on their lives and says, I wish I could have done more. You know, the Apostle Paul said he fought a good fight. He had finished his course. He stewarded his life, realizing it was a gift from God, not for something for him to do his own thing with, but to fulfill God's purpose. Our purposes are all different in the ways we do them, but they're all collectively connected that we're supposed to be used to glorify God. Have you looked at your life that way? That my life is here to glorify God? Because when you see it that way, it changes everything. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time.